Well, thinking back 2 weeks or so, we began a new series in the Songs of Ascent. And we began at Psalm 123 because I have preached to you Psalm 120, 121 and 122. And so would you please join me at Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and as we get ready for our next instalment, when did we last thank someone for protecting us from danger? On the night of February the 8th this year, and after drinking too much alcohol, a young man became separated from his friends on a night out in Durham. A concerned for their friend, the group used something called Snapchat to track his location to Franklin Lane by the River Weir. And on arrival at their friend's location, they found him in the Chilly River clinging to a fallen tree branch. However, while attempting to pull him to safety, a second young man also became trapped just above the river. And after that, a call to the emergency services saw the police, the fire service and the ambulance service working in cold, dark, wet conditions to spontaneously plan and carry out a rescue. And once the main casualty had been handed over to the paramedics on scene, his friend was recorded on a body-worn camera thanking the emergency services for saving the life of a best friend. And as we think about saying thank you after being rescued from great danger, we find something similar in our passage for this evening. Although when David expresses his thankfulness, he doesn't do so with Durham's emergency services in mind. No, when David expresses his gratitude, David thanks the Lord for delivering Israel from danger. But thinking about our background for this evening, we have established that the Songs of Ascent, that Psalms 120 through to 134, these psalms were, to the best of our understanding, sung by the Jews as they made their way up to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate their special feasts like Passover, like Pentecost, like the Feast of Tabernacles. And out of the 15 songs of ascent that have been given to us, four are attributed to David. Having introduced our theme, identified our author, and touched on the context, we're now ready to get into the scriptures set before us. And as we do, at verses 1 to 3, David makes it clear that without the Lord's help, Israel would have literally disappeared when her enemies came up against her. Verses 1 to 3 with me, please. Can you see it there? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, or let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. But taking headlines from these opening verses, at verses 1 through 2, David is in reflective mood. That David is looking back over the course of time, and as he does this, he tells his listeners that without the God of the covenant on Israel's side, then when her enemies came after her, Israel would have found herself to be in deep trouble. And this explains why David calls on Israel twice in the first two verses to acknowledge wholeheartedly that it was the Lord who delivered her from great danger. David insists that the whole nation marshals its mind and gathers its heart and does not leave this issue of sincere gratitude to God to a faithful minority only found in God's community. the whole nation, the whole body of believers, is to recognize that in dangerous times past, the living Lord God was with Israel. And in addition to that Emmanuel-like presence with his people, Israel must also appreciate that the living Lord God actively worked on behalf of his people to protect them and deliver them from great danger. And we say great danger because of the language of verse 3. Can we see this again? David says that if the Lord had not been on Israel's side, verse 3, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. As we think about David's language here, it's graphic. It's grim. Especially that bit about being swallowed alive. For those of us who might not know, garter snakes, water snakes, and green snakes frequently eat prey like fish, frogs, and worms without killing them first. These snakes use hooked teeth to pull the prey into their throat, and they use intense muscular contractions to move the prey towards their stomach. And if the prey doesn't die from asphyxiation inside the snake's throat, it's killed by the digestive acids in the snake's stomach. So for some snakes, their prey is swallowed alive. And as we come back to David and his meditations, well, we get the picture. If the living Lord God had not been on the side of Israel and fighting for Israel, then Israel would have been like a frog to a garter snake. And as we slow down just for a moment or two, while we're not told about the occasion that prompted this song, and notwithstanding the fact that there were many occasions in David's life when other men rose up against him, they revolted against him, both before he was king and after he ascended to the throne. Perhaps, as we consider the language of verses 1 to 3, perhaps the inclusion of all Israel in this psalm, perhaps this points us to that time in Israel's history when the old enemy, the Philistines, were close to gaining leverage early on in David's reign. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verses 17 to 25, some of you might remember we used this passage on Remembrance Sunday last year. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 to 25, the Philistines, they are advancing. They're spreading out across the land. However, scripture tells us that the living Lord God, he intervenes for his people. He fights for his people. And as I read our cross-reference, try to catch those moments when he does. Please listen. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "For the Lord has burst through my enemies before me like a bursting flood." Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up. Go round to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." And David did as the Lord commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Giza. And as we return from that substantial cross-reference to our psalm for this evening, if we can accept that Psalm 124 does have an unforced link to 2 Samuel chapter 5, then perhaps Psalm 124 begins to impress on us the size of the danger that was facing Israel in those days, as well as the Lord's work to deliver his people from that great danger, not once, but twice. And as we move on now, as we come to verses 4 through 5, David now does something that is found in many of the Psalms. David goes back over what he's just said, but uses slightly different words as he does so. Now, verses 4 through 5, "And without the Lord being on Israel's side, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters." And while we do have this abrupt change in David's language, while we go from being swallowed alive to being washed away, that when it comes to the Old Testament, not only does David use dramatic language to get our attention, just like other writers do, we may also say that this isn't the only time when water is used metaphorically to convey a sense of threat or destruction. Take briefly Psalm 18 and verse 16 as an example of this. Don't turn to it. In Psalm 18, in verses 16 through 17, David says, "He sent me from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me." And as we come back to Psalm 124, that hopefully the point is made. As we consider verses 4 through 5, David is effectively continuing his thinking from verses 1 through 2. If the living Lord God had not been with Israel and helped Israel when the anger of her enemy was kindled against her, then Israel would have been swept away in those moments that she was contending with. Swept away, just like those scenes we saw in Japan on March the 11th, 2011, when that mighty tsunami claimed many thousands of souls. However, at that time in the history of ancient Israel, the living Lord God, well, he had a different plan. Because while those enemies of Israel did try to overcome God's firstborn in a political way, economically and socially, while the enemy did try to sweep away God's people, get rid of them from the map, the enemy had not reckoned with the power of Jehovah on behalf of his chosen people. And at verse 6 now, David expresses his thanks to the Lord for rescuing Israel from great danger. Can you see it there in your Bibles? At verse 6, David says, "Oh, blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth." Yes, as David looks back and considers the Lord's protection in times of great danger, at the beginning of verse 6, this is David's way of saying, "Thank you, God. You are the best. You have saved your people from a horrible ending." that sort of ending associated with an apex predator and its prey. In his early years as a shepherd, David would have known only too well about the damage that a predator could do to a sheep or a lamb. And as a quick aside, if we've ever watched something similar on a wildlife program or a social media clip of some sort, then we will know that when certain predators take their prey, the event can be prolonged, and it's the worst kind of death. Literally, the apex predator eats its prey while the prey shrieks, struggles, and gasps. And as David thinks about the danger that Israel has been in, David is hugely aware that if the God of covenant promise had not been on the side of his people in times past, or indeed the present, then God's people would have been like a meat feast. The enemy would have done what it liked with God's people. But it was not to be. The Lord had a different plan for his people. And we see this at verse 7 now. Can you see it there? We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. And as we think about escaping like a bird from the huntsman's trap, as we explore the language, this slipping away, this hopping away, this staying low to the ground before breaking into flight, which incidentally was something that I saw in our back garden a few months ago when I disturbed two birds that I didn't recognize, but they impressed me with their fast feet and their speedy flight. This idea of staying low and then flying away, David knows that this has only been possible in his own life and in the life of Israel because the God of covenant promise has been on Israel's side. And this is why David then concludes in the way that he does. David is in no doubt about his own life or the life of Israel itself. David knows that when it comes to God's people, verse 8, can you see it there? A wonderful refrain. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. A statement of faith, if you like, that puts down a marker on those who put their trust in multiple gods, small g. The nations, what do? They seek help in created things that have a particular time life associated with them. But the godly, the reverent in Israel, they seek help from the one who made all things. Taking a step back from our passage, David has been thinking about the way in which the living Lord God has protected him personally, how the living Lord God has protected the nation of Israel corporately. And as we think about this mental posture that David presents in the pages of Scripture, I wonder, do we ever spend time looking back and thanking the living Lord God for the way in which he has protected us from moments of great danger? Perhaps it was a journey of some sort, here or abroad. Maybe it was a dangerous job that we were expected to do. It might have been a serious illness. It might have been a dispute over something. But whatever it was, as we reflect, we realize that it was only by God's great grace that we came through. And as we continue to think about the Lord delivering us from great danger, as we try to find our line to the Lord Jesus Christ now, I think the remarkable thing about this little song is that while David can sing with great gratitude to God about the protection God gave his people in the face of overwhelming danger, about 1,000 years after King David was on earth, David's greater son, King Jesus, well, King Jesus experiences the reverse of this psalm, doesn't he? On a little hill just outside the walls of Jerusalem, Jesus allows many to rise up against him. And with their anger kindled, their flood of dissipation sweeps away the Son of God. Jesus walks along that narrow road of suffering. Jesus is compelled to that little hill at Calvary, bearing his crossbeam on his shoulders. And as he goes to that place, so he experiences excruciating humiliation and crucifixion. And Jesus Christ is punished by God for the sins of his people. If ever there was a time when that true man in Israel should have been allowed to stay low and hop away from his huntsman, it was then, but no. In accordance with the will of his God and Father in heaven, that agonizing torrent had to go over Jesus' head. That blood had to flow from his back, his hands and his feet, so that people like me and you might be able to say by faith that our help comes in the name of the Lord, the one who made the heavens above and the earth below. So that on that great day of judgment that is coming down the line to all of us, not only might we plead his blood as our righteousness, we might also look forward by faith to that glorious moment when the perishable puts on the imperishable and mortal puts on immortality. And then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now therefore, brothers and sisters, let's spend some time this evening and each day that comes, thanking God in Christ for graciously preserving us to this point and for delivering us from the worst dangers of all, the great dangers of sin, death, and hell. Let us always remember that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Amen.